Hey everybody, welcome to Street Fight Radio. So glad you're here, especially those of you watching on Periscope and Facebook right now. If you didn't know, you can follow us at least, you know, once a week. We'll do the show over there. If you got the time, you don't want to watch network TV, we're right there. We're at Street Fight WCRS on Twitter and Facebook. We are here 3 times a week now, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Subscribe to us on iTunes and SoundCloud and Android podcasting apps. That way you'll get the show 3 times a week, if that's what you need. If it's only 1 time a week, that's fine with us. But we're here, as always, trying to spread a message of egalitarianism, maybe being a little bit more into chilling and relaxing than being stressed and overworked all the time. We are deprogramming everyone from a Law and Order Punishment Society and trying to get them into a Pineapple Margarita Society. We think that through the power of our voice, we can create a completely horizontally organized workers' party with global representation. And that starts by listening to us, Street Fight Radio, here in the heartland, Columbus, Ohio, 614 area code, inside 270. We're on WCRS, the best community radio that there is, every single Sunday at 10 p.m. We do it on there, 102.1 or 98.3. That's where you need to set your radio dial to hear all kinds of amazing local programming, including labor rights, bicycle rights, Somalian news, the best fucking hip-hop. All kinds of shit is going down on WCRS. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quimby. And you ready to knock?
I'm ready to go, baby. Man, I love that, I don't even remember what I love now. There is a biking rights, like a regular riding bikes rights show on WCRS.
Yeah, people that talk about cases around the country or, you know, where bicycle accidents happen, some of the like fucked up lawsuits where people can kill somebody with their car and get away with it, you know.
Man, I'll fucking tell you what about that. I'd probably give that a listen. They do good work. All the things Brett and I have said we're going to do in this city, not one of them's happened, really.
Well, we shut down that paper.
Okay, yeah, we did shut down the other paper. I forgot about that. We did shut that down. We've done a few things, you know. But, very bike-friendly city.
Super bike-friendly. I want to get out there. I don't have my bike yet, but I really want to get out there. They got some fully protected lanes, which is like a real gem to have.
They got little things all around town where you can just work on your bike out right there on the street, you know, like tools and stuff.
They don't just talk about like fatalities on bikes either on that program. Also, some of the new bike tech and things that are happening in bikes.
They changed something, though. That's what we're saying. That's an that's a highly effective show. We'll have to get you the name for it sometime, but just very effective. Their politics are on point. I guess like when you're trying to get rid of the whole government, secede from the government, that's probably a taller order than getting protected bike lanes.
Sure. It's a little bit not as tangible, I guess, as changing the name of the city to the people that Columbus killed.
Yeah, I mean, Arawak City's fine, but I also feel like we could just take it and just go in a whole new direction. You know what I mean? Nobody's ever like really talking about that, you know? The cities have, I mean, states and cities have, I gotta say, shitty names. Like, all of them. I think that we should re-vote on them and change them to something a little hipper, you know? Every 5 years, we should just change the name of everything, right? That would be cool, right?
It's more fun than just watching a new America's Got Talent every single summer.
Yeah. Hey, this month, we're gonna change the name of everything and all the money. New money, $3 bills this time. It's a big thing this year.
I mean, my daughter started saying it, actually. She says, when she plays with her Barbies, she says, "Hi, my name is Cece, and I'm from Columbus."
Your daughter is so boring when she plays with her toys.
She's awful. I'm doing like 2 to 3 hours of dolls a day, and all they do is go to the doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. They go to check-ups. The doctor. My kid used to be like, "Hey, I'm playing shopping at the grocery store and cooking." It's like, fuck, that's the last thing I'd play.
I'm sitting on the goddamn floor playing with kids' toys because I don't want to go shopping.
Yeah, I cry when I have to do those
anxiety
things.
Anxiety cripples me if I think about going to the fucking grocery store.
Yeah.
I'm not certainly not doing it for fun with my dollies.
No, no, definitely not. I would probably go to a more fantastical place if I was playing with my dollies. So right before we recorded, actually, I hadn't been paying attention today. We got a lot of stuff going on. We're going to be in Chicago this week, and it's just we got things we're fucking doing, okay? Don't criticize me for not watching the news. But the Uber CEO is out there apologizing again.
Uber CEO, heavy as the head that wears a crown, this guy's got it rough. He is making all the wrong moves.
It's nice, though, in a way, like, because he's like a scumbag.
Yeah.
Like, he...
sure.
But I'm saying that he's like a frat dude. He's like the kind of guy that you want to see take L's, you know?
Well, I mean, people that break strikes is... something that if you come from labor or come from people that do hard work, you know, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, well, when I was a kid, that's when you got batteries and shit thrown at you. Like for my parents' generation, you know?
Yeah.
And that was the tail end of it, to be honest. I mean, that's Reagan gutting most of it, but, yeah, I mean, he's a strike breaker. He's a best friend of Trump. Who hangs out with Trump? I mean, if you didn't see it was in the air, Trump is the guy that we're like not trying to fucking normalize here. We don't want Trump hanging out at the party no more. We're trying to give him a fucking hint. And here you are out back like, oh, no, man, I'm sure they'll talk to you. I'm sure they'll be happy to do business with you, man. I don't know. I don't know where they went.
I love
like you're hanging out with him.
I love the idea of Trump being the guy that you don't want to come to your parties, but somebody always fucking brings
him. Shut the fucking lights off. Shut up. Shut the lights off. Fucking Nathan's coming. And then you would just hide until Nathan knew what was going on. But for some reason, he never left. Like, I don't understand why he didn't get so offended that he never came back. Like, if you pulled that shit on me, I would have never returned. But that son of a bitch was ready to do it again the next time.
Right, yeah. So he... Well, I mean, there was the sexual harassment thing. The woman said it was a very hostile work environment was the second thing. He's tried to break the strike, then the sexual harassment, like hostile workplace to women engineers.
That Susan Fowler was her name, and she was an engineer for Uber, and she wrote an article that was really good and sounded like, I mean, I would have went postal that in that place. Like, I can't deal with HR and rules and those kinds of things. But if they're being just incredibly sexist, I would have went insane. I would have choked somebody at that fucking place. The treatment that woman got was unreal. They drove their female employees. She said in the time that she was there, they drove their female employees from 25% to 9% in the engineering and like computational department.
And it's these fucking dorks. They're like, I don't want a woman around my office. I don't want it. It's just like when guys used to get mad because they couldn't hang up nudie calendars at the mechanic shop anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's just the geek version of it. They're like, I don't want people here that don't appreciate Iron Man in the same way that I do.
Well, and actually, you know what? I saw the most amazing version of it, and it was just a screenshot. But somebody in like on 4chan posted something, and they are trans. And they stayed irony, that version. And they said, it really sucks because I'm in IT. And as a man, my coding was considered like the standard at the office. And as now that I've transitioned to female, I found that nobody pays attention to me and everyone second guesses me. And they seem to be thinking that I'm not getting it.
Yeah.
Like that all of a sudden the perception has changed.
And that's the infuriating thing when I read feminist theory and then I hear people talk about feminazis and stuff like that. That's why I will like I don't consider myself like a male feminist or anything. Don't. But when you read that stuff, you're just like, how could it not be true? The things that women say that they're feeling. I'm not even talking about like the politics. I'm just talking about like, I have my daughter and my niece on the show and they talked about how it's like, I just know I'm going to get picked last because I'm a girl and the boys won't respect me.
They don't think I'm good enough.
They don't think I can play football. And like that's adults do that too with the, like, they don't want their daughter to play football. It's like, fucking, if she wants to play football, let her play football. If she feels tough enough to do it, she's tough enough to do it. We're all made out of the same shit.
Yeah, that's all you need to do is feel tough enough to do it. That's all it takes to do most things.
Yes. Yeah. So
yeah,
this...
I don't know. The article was wild because there were some serious issues, man. Like, where just bosses were trying to fuck her, just berating her through IM, which is like, that's the worst, is that interpersonal IM, because people are sitting there all day and thinking about somebody's ass or tits and just thinking about the right way to send the right attachment on an email to get them to say some sort of double entendre.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where they can slip in and say something.
Right. In the zine, I wrote about my sister, who wrote about herself. I don't know why I took credit for that. But she's gone through like all kinds of like sexual harassment because she works in kitchens. It seems like it's rampant in every business. I mean, when I was a cable guy, there was only one woman in the entire like installation, service, maintenance, in the technician part, one woman in all of them. And they made her prove that she could carry a ladder. They didn't make me prove that I could carry a ladder. Well, I weighed 115 pounds when I started there, and the ladders weigh 75. They didn't make me prove anything. They made her go outside and lift a ladder at her interview to make sure that she could carry a ladder.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Like, wouldn't she know if she could carry a fucking ladder? Like, if she's confident of it, what do they think's gonna happen? This sexism's gotta go, if you ask me.
You're so brave, Brian. You're so brave. Thank you for saying it. Nobody's saying it.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that.
Take Jamie Kilstein's place.
Yeah, don't do that.
I can't. I'm not.
Don't soak it up. Once it feels good to do that performance, man, you're going to pull a fucking sexual crime out from under your hat next.
I know. That's why I'm stepping back. Okay, hey, I'm back to non-feminist hat, and I'm going to go to my class war hat now, because the next thing that happened with Uber was a video surfaced today, a dash cam video, which I didn't even know they had those. That's fresh. Catch some of my weird rides on that.
I mean, they sell them at most gas stations now. Pilot will sell you one with a cup of coffee for $35.
Yeah, so Uber Black is their fancy Uber, right? That's like the one where
show off one.
Okay,
show off.
So Uber's shithead fucking CEO had two women, and he was leaving an Oscar party, and he called it Uber.
Extremely tacky.
I know.
So tacky.
It would look better if you took a cab, man. Just not a company. Your company. What's this about, man?
Yeah, so chintzy.
I know, and he can't tip. Like, he's against tipping. So, like, he doesn't even tip. He just paid for the Uber Black ride to his house.
So cheap, man. That is such a bad look, man. Disrespectful as hell.
So it is. It's very disrespectful. I'm going to agree with you on that. But so the driver's like, hey, you know, why are you cutting pay so much? Why are you cutting the price of rides? You know, it makes it harder for us to make money.
The driver in the Uber said this to the owner?
The owner, yeah.
He did? When did this happen?
This happened the other day. The video was released today. And
damn. Well, so he had his chance. That guy was like, you know what? I've always wanted to tell the boss off, and this is my chance, right? This is I got him right here. I sit and drive this Uber every fucking day and said, if I had the goddamn CEO in the back, I'd tell him a thing or two about what he's been doing with the rates, right?
Yeah.
That's
everybody
what you've been doing.
Should. Every one of his Uber rides should. Every time he rides in an Uber, he should probably get an earful of what it's like to drive for Uber.
This is the real undercover boss right here. Like, this is the... imagine if that guy had just been put on a goddamn fake mustache and pretended to be a trainee and been like, what do you think about Uber? He would have said shit 10 times worse.
I know.
He got the respectful version.
This is what would really... This is
Undercover Boss for real.
It's what should happen on Undercover Boss. And then in the end, like, he's made CEO or co-CEO of the company.
He gets to lead the labor union.
Yeah, yeah. But... so he's just telling, a guy like, because I think that the thing these CEOs don't get is like, they don't ever have to hear what the real money situation is like. They know what they pay. They know what they think people make and how many hours they work and things like that. But they don't know what the money situation actually ends up being in the end. And they do. They constantly make it harder. They make the car, the requirements higher and higher for how the car should be, the amount that you should have to sink into your own car. But they cut their prices. So it makes it so you don't make any money. And this is the only job a lot of people can get now. This is it, man. If you have a decent car, you can do this. And it's basically replaced like all those factory jobs that there used to be.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have tapped into it, and it reliably pays. As somebody that has done like sporadic employment for years and tried to slap together online stuff through independent contracting, being able to make money reliably on a weekly basis is what everybody's looking for.
Yeah, and it's just the opportunity to go out and do it, and it has people, that dream.
People are fighting to get 24. People are fighting to get 30 hours at Target to make $8 an hour.
Right, and get screamed at all day by everybody, basically.
And this is something you can do as long as you're awake and ready to do it. If you can drive somebody, then you're on the clock.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's a great... That is... It's free. It's like free... It's freedom. There's freedom in it, you know? Like, the reason... I drive for Lyft, not for Uber. Not that it's better. I fully... understand. I mean, it's a little bit better, right?
Like, Lyft is better.
It's the lesser of two evils. It's the Hillary Clinton to Uber's Donald Trump.
Sure, definitely. Lyft, you can do the tip, man. I always give fat tips.
Yeah, those are nice too.
Because they're like, damn, you only charged $6 for this ride, and like, I would give you $11.
I got $10. That's my highest tip is $10.
Nice tip.
But man, it was good. But I've also had rides where like a dude would leave his phone in my car, and I'd figure out what his address was, drive back to the house, and hand it to them, and they don't tip me at all.
Nice.
Yeah, people are ruthless out there, man.
Yeah, people need their money.
I know. So the driver, the Uber CEO finally comes out and was like, you know what, man? Some people just want to blame all their shit on somebody else. And it's like, you know what, motherfucker? I'm allowed to blame you.
You jumped the train here.
Oh. What?
Did you say what the guy said to him, though? What did the guy actually say to him?
He said, you lowered the prices. I'm not going to read it.
Oh, I thought you looked it up. Oh, I want to know what he said to him.
Well, I looked at it. He said, I'm in debt. He said, he said it was like kind of indecipherable. He maybe wasn't the best arguer. Okay. You know what I mean? He was just saying that this is, it's a difficult job. And it used to be, I guess Uber Black used to be $20. Now they're charging by the mile. So there are rides where you don't get
$20.
I mean,
and you have a nice ass, you bought a nice ass Lincoln to go pick people up in. And you used to get $20 every time you did it. Now they're giving you $8.
Yes, over $8 for most of them, because most rides are only 1 or 2 miles.
Right.
You know? And so the Uber CEO's like, you people just blame your own shit on everybody else. And I kind of feel like if you're not allowed to blame your shit on your employer, then I don't really know who you're allowed to blame your shit. I know you're not supposed to blame your shit on anybody, but your employer is, in my opinion, a perfectly fine person to blame your money problems on.
Well, I mean,
they're paying you. They're the ones who give you all the fucking money.
So I got a sneezing fit that came out of nowhere. I mean, honestly, what it comes down to it is that this is the deal with jobs, is that you start at a certain place and then they are going to take away continually and erode what you have. And you start and you talk to the people that worked there 10 years before you, and they'll tell you about the amazing stuff that happened 10 years ago, but they're on the same sliding scale, and this is all grinding down to like the most abusive and cheapest way that they can legally get shit done, you know?
Yeah. You know, I just real quickly, I'll tell you, my wife gets a bonus every year, like a performance bonus. Everybody at her job does. You know, if they meet a certain metric, which is usually generally pretty, they meet it. You know, because everybody's like, damn, I want to get that, but I need that bonus.
Sure.
You know, well, I'm going to get a pool this year, maybe, or I'm going to buy a tanning package or something like that.
Yeah, put a down payment on that cruise.
Maybe I could go eat a food at a table and have somebody actually bring it to me instead of ordering it and telling them how to put it together.
Yeah, I don't want... Maybe I don't get counter service.
Yeah, that might be nice. Just one time. That's all I'm asking for.
I remember. Maybe I haven't done that in a while either. Like, I haven't had someone wait on me in a minute.
I know.
I'm trying to get more 19. Like, when I go out to eat, I'm like, we need to spend under $20.
Yeah.
You can't do that with somebody walking around and grabbing it for you.
Now you got to tip them, man. And that's already going to get you over $20 because they just won't give you food for $20. You know what I mean? But my wife, every year, they're like, ugh. We might not be like, there's a part like during the summer or right, you know, near the September, October area, they'll be like, oh, I don't know, man. We might not be able to do the bonus.
Not in the cards.
Yeah. Ugh,
pretty
not
tight.
Not looking good. It's tight. Yeah. Oh, this wallet, my arms are shrinking and my wallet's getting further away from me. But they're getting it. I believe that she's been told they're getting it, and I'm like,
but they want them to be like really grateful for it. Like, you almost didn't have it.
Yeah, they're prepping them for when they do take it away.
Yeah, but so that way someone's gonna have to be like, you know what? We knew this day was coming, and we had it for the last 5 years, but you know, now we just got to live on what we got.
Ugh,
now we just got to live on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah, well, that luxury time is gone now. Thank you. Actually,
no more counter service.
And everybody that gets a goddamn bonus just spends it on bills. I get a bonus and I get to zero. That's my big exciting day. It's like, nobody's chasing me down.
I'm always like, oh my God, I'm not paying interest on that no more. Like, I just wake up every day thinking of how much interest is collecting on shit. How many fees are collecting on shit?
They're not going to turn some. They're not going to turn something off. Thank you.
I'll tell you what. I mean, I'm going to. I'll say I'm proud to. I'm proud to say through street fights, you know, rising in the ranks, I'm getting to the point where my credit cards are not getting maxed out anymore. And that was like always. That was like a $500 that I would never was never ever 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 going to be able to pay back.
Yeah.
Like if I had tried to get a 9-to-5 job, there was no way that $600 credit card would ever get paid off. I would have paid $25 every month and then charged $14.90.
Yeah. Well, I'm at that place where like I got overdraft protection. That's basically just a line of credit.
Yeah.
And I am just, I mean, all I spend.
You always plan to be negative 300.
Yeah. And I just stay there. I mean, I keep money in the regular account, but there's 46. My overdraft protection's now like $40 instead of 3,000.
Okay. So, you're all coming up, man.
And someday I might catch up that money. You know what I mean?
Might go negative.
I might, yeah. And that might be the best day of my life when I have like even just a touch of a buffer, you know?
Yeah, that would be bougie though.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel guilty as fuck about that. I already feel guilty because I got a MacBook from 2009.
You know, I'm not quite the MacBook from 2009 levels. So, man, I saw this news story about Kentucky. Did you the cars, right? The police cars in Kentucky.
Yeah.
This is from Kentucky.com. And you know, you guys know how I like to do things. Just read that headline. Chief removes Punisher emblem and Blue Lives Matter from police cars after public reacts.
So I do have to say, gratefully, I know a lot of Street Fight listeners don't pay attention to comic books and never did. I appreciate that. Punisher is a skull logo. It's a skull with like five really skinny teeth. I'm sure you've seen it. It's like, I mean, it's a pretty common, it feels common. But
a lot of t-shirts.
I've been to a lot of state fairs and a lot of county fairs, so there's a lot of Punisher logos in those places.
Punisher's rad. He kills people, and that's what people love.
Frank Castle, and he kills the right people. Only like the worst of the worst. The people you're like, I'm not weeping for them.
Yeah, he kills pedophiles.
Sex traffickers and shit. Yeah, it's like fucking, I don't care if he ripped their head off. Fuck it. But that's who the cops fancy themselves as, apparently, because they adorn. I mean, they did the crummiest meme on their fucking vehicle. It's a Punisher logo with a Blue Lives Matter flag inside of it. So like one of the five skinny teeth is like the blue tooth in the American flag.
I'm so mad about that. Even just, it is a meme too. They put a goddamn meme on their police car.
Right. And these are the people that are protecting and serving, but in a really vile way. I mean, in a way that the Punisher does.
Well, and yeah, other than that though, it's like really aggressive.
It's
like
gang shit. This is gang shit to me. This is why we say you're a gang.
Yes.
You put fucking Blue Lives Matter on the side. Hashtag you squatted up. Hashtag Blue Lives Matter and put a fucking skull on there and chose your colors. You are fucking gang.
Yeah. And like, you're just like, I mean, most of my job is, you know, murdering people I think are wrong, yeah. You know, killing.
Kill bad guys. Show up every single day, 9 to 5, kill bad guys. And I don't stop until I'm done. I go home and sleep silently every single night.
One thing I hate is when you're talking to other people on the left that are like friendly with us, you know, that are anti. Well, I mean, we call ourselves anti-cop. We're trying to replace the police with the Department of Sanitation, just merge them together. But like, people always be like, I thought their job was to protect and serve. And it's like, man, it seems like now their job is to get vengeance. Like they live in the fucking raid or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. For like the Fox News grandpa section, grandpa and grandma's, like we have that issue where they feel like the cops have to go out there and start busting heads because the streets are wild. People are rollerblading and throwing Molotov cocktails in the streets.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got to read this article because if we get some statements from the cop, that's interesting. But like the Cattlesburg Police Department, which employs 8 full-time and 2 part-time officers
for a population
of about 2,500 people.
This is just basically a fishing club.
Yeah.
A fucking racist fishing club.
It's the local clan and fishermen.
Yeah. Club. Society. Yeah.
It's a fucking Elks Lodge for racists. Yeah. Well, I'm sure the Elks Lodge is also racist.
Yeah. The VFW. It's like if the VFW enforced all the rules.
Yes. Oh, fuck, man. So it's a small town and they probably feel bad, right? Like that we don't do anything ever. Like our whole job is to just sit around and probably trade memes and then go sit in a car somewhere, you know?
Yeah, catch somebody smurfing some Sudafed.
Yeah, follow somebody around that's out there to look at haunted houses. That's a callback to like a really long time ago thing.
yeah, it is. Now that you mentioned it, I guess I was thinking like I was thinking of Louisville, Kentucky.
2,500 people is a small amount of people for a town.
That's a high school.
That's
in some places. That's a high school.
Yeah, there's 2,500 people in the movie theater in like big cities.
Right, right. We're talking to like more people than that.
Exactly. Yeah, we're talking to more than the city of Cattlesburg. They aren't,
but
they should just, you know what they do?
This is good.
They
though.
Move cows out of the road. That's what their job is.
Yes. They somehow get a cow to cross a creek, and they're angels for that. And that's what they should do.
It's nice too. I want them to do that.
Get the animals out of the tree.
But they see themselves as
clean up a possum if they hit it.
Yeah. They see themselves as Frank Castle, who is out constantly. Just kill him.
If I don't catch old Donnie stealing gas from the Sitgo, this fucking night is bust. Justice is dead.
Yeah.
Unless I come up with the head of Donnie tonight.
The designs were spearheaded by Police Chief Cameron Logan, who worked with a vinyl decal shop in Louisiana to get the details printed.
That's his buddy. If you know a buddy that does vinyl, though, and you're drinking a lot of whiskey and shit, you're going to be like, hey, man, I'll give you a break, man, if you want to do that Punisher shit on your fucking police cars. It sounds like Hot Wheels shit.
Listen to this. Logan installed the decals on all the police vehicles in December. He would not discuss how much the decals cost.
Yeah, I mean,
he used tax money, right? He was like, I need to gussy up the cars to do more community work in them.
Yeah, and then when they were like, how much was it? He's like, I don't know. I mean, not much.
Got a good deal.
I traded him. I threw in a cab for a pickup truck. I threw an extra set of tires in. Like, I mean, it was nothing. It was a handshake deal.
Yeah.
He just did it because he likes the police.
He did.
Now, he runs a business. How much did he charge you for that? Do you pay thousands of dollars for this, Mr. Yeah. Logan?
That design's basically to give back to the police officers, Logan said, who has been with the department for 13 years.
I mean,
they need good art, too.
They need to feel badass out there. They're pretty damn badass, you know? And they need to feel badass. When they go out there, they need to have a skull on there. Something that they like, you know, for them. You know, it's not for the community. Because, you know, they are out there to punish the community, stop the community, and they need to feel good when they do that.
You know, if anybody's offended by this Punisher, maybe we ought to kill them. You know, if they don't think Blue Lives Matter,
maybe they should be punished.
Yeah,
if you don't like Blue Lives Matter, maybe you should be punished.
He's like, our lives matter just as much as anybody.
They don't.
I'm not racist or anything like that.
Super racist.
But you weren't born a cop either,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you weren't. Nothing about your life. You don't have blue skin. You don't have a blue motherfucking eyes. Nothing about you is blue. So how is that? How is that intrinsic?
I'd argue that they're kind of a breed because I can sniff out a cop in a room in a second, no matter what people are wearing.
That's true.
Brett actually knows somebody that kind of looks like a cop, but likes drugs, and he always has trouble getting drugs.
Well, his haircut's too nice all the time, and his clothes are pressed, and he smells good, and like everything's so on point. He just looks like somebody that came from the gym, like the cop gym.
Yeah, and he said, I'm not trying to stir anything up like that.
You put Blue Lives Matter on your car because that is what the cops say because they don't think Black Lives Matter.
It's you got this off of a political Facebook group.
Yes. You
got
this. Yes. What do you mean? How did you stumble your way into this?
Yeah.
When did you think this was part of the job?
He said,
I don't know. Dang, man. We just thought it was going to be cool.
That is what he's saying.
Shit, man. We was just wanting the cars to be cool, man. We was not trying to say nothing about nobody.
He said, I consider it to be a warrior logo.
Right.
Just because it has blue. He said, I'm not trying to stir anything up like that. I consider it to be a warrior logo. Just because it has Blue Lives Matter on the hood, all lives matter. That decal represents that we will take any means necessary to keep our communities safe. From what?
Any means, like Frank Castle? Punisher means? Frank Castle throws people into furnaces and grinds them up in wood chippers and shit. Frank Castle will rip your limbs from your fucking arms.
Yeah. Whatever he'll shoot you a comical number of times until you turn into hamburger.
Right. Frank Castle is not somebody that we're looking up to as a significant. He doesn't know justice.
No, people don't look up to him. People don't think that he's usually
he's not our idol. He's not he's not what the people have in mind when they think of justice.
Yeah, or like what the police should be in any way. Like he's
grinding
basically
up people on the road.
He's kind of a statement on what the police should not be. Right. You know, he like
perfect
everything
example.
About him.
Don't get to Punisher levels.
I mean,
it's Judge Dredd. It's like Judge Dredd just cranked up.
I'll say this, though. Like, Frank Castle, like, somebody killed his whole family. Like, in front of him.
I know, I would kill scumbags if someone did that to me. I mean, that's my right as a white man, though, so I get to do that.
Well, I mean, but these cops, nobody killed their... Like, it's
yeah,
not like
right.
they're dealing with
that's
trauma.
True.
Like, Frank Castle-style trauma, you know? He's, like, not a serial killer. Well, I mean, he is a serial killer in a way, mass murderer, but he's also, like... I mean,
he has issues.
Yeah.
He's been victimized, and that's why he lashes out upon his victim.
Yeah, they haven't. They're just like, I just want a badass looking fucking car, man.
Yeah.
When I drive over there to catch somebody on catch old Jerry on a DUI driving home, you know? Maybe I need him to know I mean business this time.
Damn, man, I've been telling Captain Logan, with that Punisher logo on there, we got to get some Daytonas on the tires because we need something badass. Yeah. Something that'll smoke up when you throw some bleach underneath it.
And here's the reason the chief said that what they're protecting by any means necessary. Now, it says, here's how it's worded in the newspaper. Overdoses and drug-related crimes have been on the rise. Now, I'm going to say this. The Punisher is not who I'd call to deal with the drug overdose.
Not, he has no compassion. No compassion.
That's not the guy I'm ringing up.
If my daughter or my nieces or nephew or you, if you were to, the fame were to get to your head and you went back on opiates, I would not want Frank Castle to come and use his brand of help on you.
Kill you.
Yeah.
He can come in and be like, he's going to die anyway.
Yeah.
Let's stop the suffering. Cover your eyes, sir.
He just puts a phone book over your face and shoots you in through the eye.
Yeah. And drug-related crimes, let me clarify, everybody, stealing copper wire and shit like that. It's not like Rico and the gang are getting in a gang war in the middle of the street, no. In the middle of the city. You know what I mean? It's not like the streets of Miami during Scarface or anything.
No, no cocaine cowboy stuff.
Yeah, it's Lonnie's doing Lonnie shit. Fucking, like you said, siphoning the gas out of the chief's motorcycle while he's not looking and stuff like that. They say drug-related crime because they tie any crime to drugs now.
Yeah, it is. The cops, man, are just such fucking assholes.
Listen to this shit.
They just always show themselves like they don't believe any of the valiant shit. That other people say about them.
They don't serve. I think that's, they don't believe that they serve us.
No, hell no.
I think that's where the key
they're
is.
They're keeping us in line.
They're at war with us.
Yeah.
At all times. That's how I feel.
They gotta smash us into submission, into shape.
Yes.
whip us into shape. Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Yes. The city council and Mayor Randall Peterman approved the designs. Like, they got a bunch of other people. This wasn't even, like, his thing that he went out and did.
I mean, if my buddy brought a goddamn new... They would use, like, Dodge Chargers and shit in there. Like, they always get a badass car.
Yeah.
What were these on? Mustangs or something?
Chargers.
And they throw me in a Charger, yeah.
No, not a Charger. What is a Ford? Yeah, I think it's a Ford Mustang. Well, it looks like a shitty Ford Mustang. Not an impressive one at all. I mean, once you emblazon that police logo on the side, you fuck up whatever cool ride you got anyway.
I don't know, man. Hot Wheels look like just like that.
Yeah.
That's what all the Hot Wheels look like.
Yeah,
and
I grew
so
up.
These guys are in there. They're looking at this thing. Like, hell yeah. Fucking love it, man. It looks dope.
Yeah,
We can go take it to the DARE program. We can show it off.
Yeah.
That's what they used to do when we were kids. They had a Ford Mustang that was a convertible that they painted like purple and yellow because that was the colors of my high school. And they would take that thing and park it out front to show off like how badass the cops were at taking drugs or something.
They had a Lamborghini one. They had a DARE Lamborghini that they painted police style, but I always hated the car once they painted the police. Even when I was in fifth grade, I was like, why'd they fuck the Lamborghini up? Actually, I was bragging about seeing the Lamborghini, and my brother was like, yeah, but it's got that stupid cop shit all over it.
Right.
And I was like, you're right, buddy. He's like 3 years older than me. He knew what was going on.
He was more wise, more street wise.
Yeah. So the city council and the mayor approved it, but,
this is some dumbass bullshit.
I know.
I don't even know. Just stupid.
But the city council member, Richard Andy Brown, he's like, I don't see why they waste the money, honestly.
Right. I mean, I'm in there, too.
He's the guy that owns the IGA.
Small government. He owns the IGA?
He owns the IGA, so he's probably really powerful in that city.
Yeah, I used to ride my bike to an IGA when I was a kid.
Fucking everybody got to go to the IGA.
Take, like... 8 quarters up there and get some Pringles and licorice and ride your ass back home and just eat the shit out of it.
And listen to these motherfuckers. Listen to this. Listen to these motherfuckers. My main objective is to make sure the taxpayers' money is used in the most efficient way possible. It wasn't expensive, but still. Why do they keep saying it wasn't? I'm sure it was $200, okay? I'll give them. Is that how much decals? I would never get decals on my car.
No, that's expensive.
What?
Custom and large size. Yeah, I mean, they spent a couple $1,000s on that.
Let's get a street fight decal on our car.
I want to do the fucking skins. There's a place in Columbus that advertises the skins, but it's like $2,000 or $3,000 to get the like full custom skin.
Lizard skins?
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
A lizard? Let's get a street fight fucking
car. I know.
Car,
I want
man.
A lizard skin.
Put a Punisher on it, too.
But I like
to just put a Punisher on it for good measure. Okay.
We have access to one of those Cricut machines, the Cry Cut machine. Maybe we could do some vinyl graphics on that. Yeah. Like, we could cut a big piece of vinyl on it. But, yeah, I mean, that costs money. I mean, serious money. Like, nobody does that for cheap. I mean, obviously, it increases the badassness of the car so much that you have to pay a premium for that.
But if you do it to a cop car, you do it cheap. Because everybody,
I mean, you
got to
give them the blue discount.
Yeah, yeah. Like, where they just get, like, where a motherfucker will say you can have free coffee from this gas station. It's like, man, make him pay for the shockwave, too, man.
And Facebook people that listen that only do Facebook, you should know that a bartender's job is more dangerous than a cop's job. More bartenders die per year per amount than police.
Yeah, yeah. It's he's like when they ask Charles Allen, who's another person who's on the city council, he's like, I think it's a good thing. I think all lives matter. Nothing to do with color, black lives, yellow lives.
Purple lives. They always bring up them purple lives.
They're green. I don't care if you're a goddamn green person. I drive a goddamn Lamborghini painted like the police.
It has a skull on it. So what? I do justice in it.
They're going to get this town could have got Lamborghinis. They're idiots for just getting a decal. They could have probably gotten.
They could have spent
so
that money
more.
On like a cherry bomb exhaust system or something cool.
They could have
like
a
blow
hot
off
rod.
Valves or something. They could have got turbos.
It seems like the city council and the mayor will just give them whatever they need to do whatever they want. And that's another thing about the cops. Like, I remember watching The Wire and they were like, they're cutting the police's budget. And I'm like, motherfucker, they don't.
This
do
is
that.
Fantasy. This is a fantasy TV show.
Yeah, because it was all, I'm like, I don't even notice that they cut the budget. It seems like that budget's unlimited.
My cop, but the cop people I know aren't suffering the way I'd like them to be.
No, they don't suffer for their art at all. They a lot of them work overtime standing in a grocery store.
Right.
They'll just make a bunch of money just standing there.
In a Walmart parking lot.
Yeah. They got to be there. That's like a. That's not the place to be. And so and they always do say, I think, you know, black lives matter, red lives matter, blue lives matter, all the lives
hey,
matter.
Hey, if someone out here was goddamn magenta, I'd say magenta lives matter, too.
Yeah.
Let's cut it out. It's like, no, police, you're beating the shit out of fucking black folks.
And they were
Hispanic folks. Like, you're super racist.
Yeah, and they were bothering them. They were actually posting it on Facebook groups, too. They took pictures of the car and then posted them on Facebook.
Why would you do it? Why else would you do it? There's no reason but to do it for the gram. Like, that's what you do this shit for. You're trying to get RTs, man.
This whole city government, like, got together and did this. Like, it's put a meme on their cop cars. And it was like, we got to show these badass things off, man.
Stop. Stop.
At least rampant. People got pissed, though. In a small town like that of 2,500 people, that a lot of people probably even know the cops. You know what I mean? Probably know them by
name. You see
them
at a family reunion or something every year.
Yeah, but they were like, no, guys, no. Not the Punisher.
Cut this shit out. Not Punisher. Don't be out. I can't root for you if you got the Punisher on the front. I'm too Christian for that.
I got to find out if this is like a town of 2,500, like landscape business owners and things or car mechanic shop business owners or like a town of like weeks of extended stay hotels and those little dystopian or not those just ranch apartments, like a row of eight ranch apartments, because that might mean they do have some dangerous people they're dealing with.
I mean, yeah, if somebody's paying $50 a week to get by, I mean, sure.
Yeah.
But you don't need to Frank Castle those people.
No.
Like this is all of our like mission here is to get them away from being the police. They have a very poor understanding of what the police should be. I feel like
that the police there just don't fucking do anything. They're the perfect pilot program to have them cleaning up the fucking streets now, man. I should run for mayor there.
Yeah. I mean you're talking about 2,500 people in town. They probably paid $2,500 to get all of that vinyl done. Drive your happy ass around and give everybody a fucking dollar that you see.
Not bad. Not a bad idea. I mean, I would
serve me.
I wouldn't even take the dollar. I'd probably be like, nah, I ain't got time.
Bullshit. You got money. You need money too.
I do need money, but what are you gonna do with a dollar? You know what I mean?
Put it in your wallet.
That's true.
You carry a wallet to carry the damn thing.
That's true. I'd take the dollar. I'm not gonna say I'm better than the dollar. So, well, man, You know, I got another cop story, actually, this Sunday.
Oh, man. I don't know where you're going. This is crazy. I mean, I don't want to get in people's face all the time, but like this one was just such a beautiful example of why we need to examine what policing is and the people that we're empowering with guns and badges.
So the Columbus Airport Police, which Brett actually had an encounter with before when he went to the airport and said they were real pricks about being at work that day because you guys were protesting at the airport.
Yeah, they were openly flipping about it, saying that they could have been solving murders, but instead they were watching a protest.
Solving murders at the airport police could have been at home solving, or could have been solving all those airport murders that happened.
Yeah.
What are the airport police? I mean, they're just something we think we need.
I think they were Columbus, I believe.
Oh, there were some. The airport police department caught a couple dudes coming into town with 49 kilos. Well, wait, I'm sorry. I said 49 kilos. 49,000 grams of marijuana.
What is that?
That's how they worded it in the thing. They said, we seized 49,000 grams of marijuana this time.
And I can't do the math, man, on that right now, but that's bullshit. They're just trumping it up.
Well, yeah, 49,000 grams sounds more than 49 kilos.
Right.
And they said, and at the end of the fucking tweet, just to make me furious, it said, sorry, dopers.
What?
Yeah, they took... Okay, I'm going to explain it to you. Columbus Airport Police caught two men coming through the airport with 49 kilos of marijuana, okay? And when they tweeted about it, they tweeted a picture of it where, you know, they pile up the pictures so they could take a rad picture of the stuff they got. And it's two big suitcases, and they're sitting next to each other, and they're opened up, and there's just all this marijuana laid out on the ground. They tweet at that time, the airport police tweet on their site, hey, we seized 49,000 grams of marijuana. Sorry, dopers.
I'm so furious about this.
I know, dopers.
Stop.
Dopers.
Stop. Quit it.
49,000 fucking grams, dude. They said 49,000. It sounds so high. That's got to be a lot of marijuana. It's 49,000 of anything's a lot of things.
Sure. 49,000 pencils would be quite sizable, I imagine. No, man. That's like how much people got to smoke.
Yeah, it takes a lot of weed to get high.
To get the right people high.
I just hate how that happens a lot now, too, where the cops brag on social media about stuff. We had a thing last week where the New York police seized two kids' bikes for riding their bikes rowdy in the street.
Yeah, I mean, it pisses me off. Like, I get weed. I have weed all day, but that's only because I have put myself in position where I'm a outcast and can only succeed in an environment outside of the law.
You're a doper.
Right. I'm a fucking doper. I prioritize being a doper over gainful employment.
You fucking doper.
So I'm tied into the doper scene, but so many fucking people I know need that weed, man. It's fucking criminal, man. This Jeff Sessions shit. I just don't know why people aren't ready to revolt on this government. It's really sad that we can't get the fucking plants, man. Because weed is like, I mean, weed is so boring anymore.
Well, it's very popular right now. Well, I mean, really, the polling even indicates that, like, it's well over the majority now. Just say make it legal for recreational use. I mean, these guys are they're going after it. You know, there's nothing we can really do about it. But I will say the reason people aren't revolting about it is because, like, weed is very important to us. But other people, it's just a small part of their politics.
Sure.
I always think sometimes I have a really out, because I posted something on Facebook about, oh, good job voting for these fucking guys. And then I was like, you know, maybe people don't think of weed every time something political happens. Like, hey, how does this affect weed?
You're right. some people are just, oh, I know a guy, he's quite interesting guy. Does a podcast. He uses marijuana regularly and has found it's helped him quite a bit.
I don't even think it's like that. I think those people smoke weed too. That's true. I have people in my car now who like are eating gummies, like old square golfer men, like that are like, every once in a while I get a gummy and you know, somebody sends me one from Denver.
Right.
And they're actually really nice. They work really well, you know. Sometimes you think it's not going to work, but then you know, boom, about an hour in, you start feeling real spacey. It's good. It helps me relax after a long day.
I think for me, I feel like the and to get serious for a second here, like the hopelessness I feel is that people are preventing weed from getting around when weed is around everywhere it needs to be around. And I don't know. I can't believe that people would go and stop, like would do this work. Why are you doing this? Why do you believe in this? How do you have the power to do this? I feel powerless against it. And all I want to do is just stop all of this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you, man. I mean,
it's fucking absurd.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, But we're in a world now where we're going to start fighting. The ball's going to get pushed a little bit down the hill. But I think we're looking at I feel like we're very close to the election where you have to be for legalization to get elected. We're getting there. And, you know, but it sucks. It fucking sucks, this Jeff Sessions turkey. He's like, oh, you know, if we legalize, you know, you might start seeing marijuana at every grocery store. It's like, fucking sweet.
That's what we want.
That would be great. I love it. I'd love to just be able to go pick it up.
My motherfucking dude is so finicky on the times that he's available.
Oh, God.
Like when everything has to stop. I'll tell my wife a whole schedule for the rest of the day, and then I'll be like, I mean, he's ready. And then she'll be like, well, I mean, can we change that? And like, no, it's right now. Like right
minutes.
Now is the time. This is the time. There's a window of opportunity to get weed. And this is it.
I got 15 minutes and I have to leave instantly. I'm going to have to take you home right now and then head over.
Yeah. There. I'm going to be late. He's going to be griping at me.
Yeah.
Because I held him up from going to the club.
I do want to be able to get it at every grocery store.
I do. That's it would be nice.
That's not a prospect that scares me even in the least. And, you know, we have kids. I'm not worried that my kids, you know what? Kids probably, I mean, like my kid is not interested in trying marijuana at all. She thinks it's disgusting and stupid, but she knows that I use it and she doesn't look down on me for it. And she doesn't use it. The schools do a goddamn good job of scaring people away from drugs. I gotta say, they're pretty good at that. We can even keep that program there.
Some disinformation. The kids need to have to, and they need to be challenged with disinformation at a young age.
You know what she said? You know what she said to me the other day when she was talking about drugs to me? She was like, yeah, usually a guy will come up and find you and be like, you got the stuff? And I was like, oh my God, they still teach you got the stuff.
The old stuff. Yeah, that's the classic, man.
Yeah. Hey, man, you got the stuff over there? I'll give you a little bit of free stuff. Then you'll get all hooked on it.
Right.
So I saw this story yesterday from North Carolina, and it's actually changed overnight, so it'll be hard to have outrage for it, but I want to throw it out there because of the way that it is indicative of the world to me, okay? In North Carolina, they were pondering a bill that parents would be allowed to put their kids back in football games after a concussion earlier, so that they could choose to do that.
I sure do love down here in North Carolina. We don't put up with none of that liberal bullshit. We don't fuck around when it comes to that. We don't do none of that shit, man. You get your bell rung, shake it off. If you ain't stronger than the bell, you're going to get rung.
Like, do they realize, like, that nobody believes that? That nobody. Are there people that are trying to put concussed people back in the game? I know that the people that play the game want back in a lot of times, but
you're stepping on their rights is what you're doing.
I am.
You're trying to interject on their agency. And you're overstepping your boundaries. You're being controlling a big brother state. You're being a nanny state by saying these young men can't go play with a concussion.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that you have, I mean, my feeling is you have to make it so they can't play. Somebody has to be like, no.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Even just to be the state won't let us do it. You know, we're a bunch of, we would let you do it, but the state won't. There, that's all you got to say, you know?
Well, and the thing about football is they do have like a third string, so they can't swap people in. I mean, if you get a concussion, it's just, I mean, that's the breaks, right? That's how it is. Like, then the other guy goes in. North Carolina, man, they traditional values down there. I mean, they're really testing the waters. That's hard for me to think about. Man, we can't let those people have the reins.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got some crazy fucking ideas.
That's the type of world. Oh, it's fucking weird, right? Like that, like,
it's just spiteful. It feels spiteful.
It's Trump world. Trump world, like, they would make you get back in the game if you have a concussion.
You get one life, son, and Christ is going to judge you on whether you are willing to risk it all for his gift that he gave you to achieve greatness on the 50-yard line.
Yeah. Fuck, man. Yeah.
Sucks. Stupid it's people, just, man. Just real dum-dums.
It is. It's depressing. It really gets me.
Why?
Because
who are they advocating? They're advocating, like, that. That is just advocating for punishment, for what? Cruelty, for, like, just, you know, this world's, like it's pain, harmful.
Yeah.
Everlasting effect. I don't know. I don't know what you're like when you want people to keep playing when they're injured. I don't know what you're fighting for besides like comic, like I would save that shit for comic books, you know?
Yeah.
Or like pro wrestling.
Let's try not to make life super hard for everybody. Let's be careful
Sit
with
this
our
one
heads.
Out.
Let's be I'm a firm like I talk
There's
about
no glory in a high school football game.
There's no glory in playing concussed either, man. Like, even the professionals, I'm like, I think it's good that they're being...
Take a break.
Yeah. Oh, well, and they're being more strict about it. I know that it's not cool to say, I think it's cool that
Dude,
they're trying
the
to make...
football sounds so much cooler. When they would, like, break their fuck... All of their fingers would be broken, and they would just tape it up into, like, a club and beat the shit out of other guys' livers.
Yeah, you know? Aim at each other's heads. Like, helmet to helmet was like, we got to get this helmet to helmet in there.
Take them out.
I got to run.
That's the order. Take them out.
Yeah, yeah. Which, in my mind, is, like, really cool, but I'm okay. Okay, I prefer the way they do it now.
Yeah, I like this shit too. I just play the game, move the football down the field. We don't need to put nobody in the hospital.
Isn't that really kind of the goal? Is hitting really the goal in football?
So
hitting as hard
so cool,
as...
man. We don't get to do that. There's no hitting in real life. There's no hitting. I mean, the thing about conservatives is they whip themselves up into a frenzy. It's like, oh, I went downtown to go do my tags. And I didn't get into a scuffle at all, you know, because they want to feel like they made it through a war zone. And, like, life is just becoming way more docile. Everybody is so fucking docile.
I was actually having a conversation with somebody at your daughter's birthday party this week about how, like, you know, just, like, goals that we – or not goals, but, like, things that would be really fucking cool if they happened to us. And one of them is get beat up by a professional wrestler. And they were just like – Why do you want to do that? And I'm like, it's fucking cool, man. I want to get beat up by a babyface professional wrestler and thrown to a table. Aren't you afraid you'll get hurt? No, I don't mind getting hurt.
Yeah,
not a big deal to me. I like physicality. I don't mind. I wouldn't mind getting hurt. It's worth it.
I really want to get hurt, man.
Some people feel like it's worth it, right?
Sure.
It's like, hey, you know, powerbomb me through a damn table. If it's good enough for Goldberg, or if it's actually, that's the exact wrong person, but it, you know, if it's good enough for Daniel Bryan, it's good enough for me, you know? But they were just like in awe about being willing to get hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're exactly right. Like, people try really hard to keep from getting hit.
I mean, our lives are very sterile at this point. Both of us, we share a living space with other people. It's a house, and they put a wall down the middle of it, and someone lives on the other side of it. And, like, we are in each other's shit and in the middle of a city, but, like, I live the most private of lives.
Yeah, you don't really talk to them. I don't talk to my neighbors either, ever. We don't even look at each other.
I go stand outside with my kid and stuff, and there's just, like, our schedules don't sync up or anything. There's just not a lot of, there's not a lot of interaction that's happening, I feel like, where people can feel that, like, level of aggressiveness, you know?
Yeah,
unless they want to, but football is one of them.
I mean, what I'm trying to articulate by us wanting to get beat up is that there are some people that physicality isn't like a worry. You know what I mean? I still get him. I'm 38 years old, and I know this is gonna sound sad after I say I'm 38 years old, but I still get in mosh pits. In my 20s, I was like, no, I won't be getting into a mosh pit. I'm a father, and I am a mature adult, and I'm too old for it. And now I'm just like, no, I always liked it in a mosh pit. I think that's what I do. I get into these anytime I go to a concert with a mosh pit, I get in because I just love it. I enjoy it. I don't care. I like the soreness and things like that. I like pushing people around and being pushed around by people. It's fun. Right. And I think that when somebody in the world of like football getting hit hard is something that people accept, and the people on the outside have to regulate the way that they're hitting. You know what I mean? Because people like us don't make good people like football players, right? Or people like me who will just let somebody beat me up because it looks cool or it'll feel cool. Like, don't have the sensors. Like, they don't think about how the pain's gonna hurt afterwards, or maybe they even do. So somebody else, like my wife, has to be like, I'm not gonna let you go get beat up by a wrestler.
Sure. You know? That's a bad idea.
Somebody has to stop me from doing it because I'll do it.
Yeah, and the same. Yeah, in football.
Yeah, football. Yeah, somebody has to regulate it, or they're gonna do it. Man. So, I think for the last thing we'll do here, I'll get to here is like I was watching Twitter while the Oscars was going on. I didn't actually watch the Oscars. I know. I mean, I'm not a conservative man, so I'm not expected to watch it.
You're not trying to get razzed. You're not trying to be incensed by the Oscars and their SJW agenda.
All Sunday night, right? My Facebook feed was conservative groups posting about how they're not watching the Oscars. And all
they're brave for that.
All it does for me is like, how many people do you think turned the Oscars on because they didn't know they were on? But
oh shit, tonight I'm doing nothing. Hell yeah, I would love to live tweet the Oscars. Thank you, pissed off right wingers, for letting me know.
Yeah, they're turning people on to it almost by and they do. They only talk about award shows now. Every single day, they have a thing where they're like, oh, you won't believe what happened at the SAG Awards. And it's like, they would have never known what happened at the fucking SAG Awards.
No clue.
Like, what are you doing watching the SAG Awards? You got a conservative sitting by watching for, like, Susan Sarandon to give a speech they think is incendiary. They're waiting for, like, Jimmy Fallon to call fucking Donald Trump a Cheeto or something. Get mad at him.
Yeah, they can say that Meryl Streep doesn't level the same critiques at Roman Polanski.
Yes, very good. Very good. Yeah, why are they so obsessed with it, Brett? What is the draw?
Love celebrities because that's their people. Ronald Reagan was an actor, Donald Trump is an actor. Like, they love actor people.
Well, they care deeply what celebrities have to say.
That's their culture. I mean, because at the end of the day, I mean, that's their culture. Like, American, when you're looking at traditional culture, it's like a consumer culture, and it is based around wholesome television, right?
Basically, yeah. I mean,
part of it.
Yeah.
Part of it can be construed that way, I feel like.
Yes. Yeah. So, and they just they care. Like every celebrity that says something that pisses them off, they have to comment on it. They can't leave them alone. They think they shouldn't ever talk about politics. For some reason, they have in their mind that because they're public figures, they shouldn't be allowed to talk about politics.
Well, and that's what we've dealt with too. Like Fox News, since it's launched, and all of the conservative media has really moved the dialogue into, why are these celebrities saying things that are anti-American? Like, you know, that's convenient that someone that makes $1 million a year would have something to say about capitalism.
And is beloved. Somebody that makes $1 million a year and is beloved by everybody would have political opinions. Yeah. What the heck? They think that all things that need to be anything except for, like when they turn on the news, like they're like, okay, you watch Fox News or you watch CNN or MSNBC. Those are the two places where you can get your fucking politics. Read it in the newspaper, the New York Times or something like that. No more politics than anything else. Everything else is a politics-free zone. Super Bowl, no politics.
Yeah.
Oscars, no politics.
And by no
BAFTA Awards, no politics.
And by no politics, that means you support the troops and the flag no matter what they do, and you have unending allegiance to the United States of America.
Oh yeah, if somebody went up there and said Blue Lives Matter, then they would be like, it's damn just so right. brave. He went
finally right. That's what we needed, is some traditional American values on television. I don't know why they're parlaying their audience of minority viewpoints. You know, we need to have the people out there that support the cops.
John Voight walked right into that hornet's nest and he told them how things were going to be. He told them Blue Lives Matter. You know, he said, build that wall. Okay. And he said that to a bunch of smelly libs who've been all night saying bad things about called the president a goddamn rapist.
Rewriting history. Make America bad in every instance. Every time we killed somebody, it was bad.
Yeah.
Manifest destiny is bad.
Don't look bad. I just, yeah, you're right. They do. They want us to also say we're bad.
Undermining America.
Right, yeah.
So, undermining Christianity, too.
That's true.
You don't got to be Christian, but be Christian.
You don't got to be Christian, but don't never say nothing about any other religion other than good things about Christianity, please. Right. Thank you. Go.
We're a Christian nation, but you don't have to be Christian. No. Just recognize that the majority is Christian and everybody believes in Christian stuff.
Recognize that most of the laws that we made were made in a Christian mold.
Christian laws. It's Christian law.
That's true.
It's molded in with influence of Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, keep it down.
But it's complete. You can do what you want as long as it's Christian.
I don't care if you're goddamn Muslim, man. Just never say anything about it.
Be Christian about it. Just goddamn it, be Muslim and be Christian about it.
Yeah, do the parts of Muslims that being a Muslim that is a lot like being Christian, please. All those things I'm fine with. Just remember Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, please. Thank you.
Yeah, so, that's where I'm at. I mean, that's what I feel like I'm trying to get away with. I feel like, for me, I've actually been having this internal struggle where I just want to go on my Facebook and say, hey, Christians, I kind of look at you in the same way that you view like Muslims and shit. Like,
yeah.
You feel like a group of people that are totally uncontrollable and at the whim of some invisible person that I can't rectify myself with.
And expect all of us to be at the whim of that invisible person.
Right,
that's,
right.
That's the, I
like,
mean.
Like, that's the trouble. I'm down with religion, but, like, not when it comes to being, like, making the law in the same vision as your religion, because not everybody's doing that.
Listen,
you know, like, live that way yourself, but not, don't make the law that.
Listen, I don't got no problem if you want to sit around and say the earth is flat, but I don't
Absolutely.
Want you to tell me who I'm allowed to marry and things, or like telling me which bathroom I have to go to.
Yeah, these are things we don't need your opinion on. We don't need your opinion on marijuana, even. Like, we don't need your opinion on abortion. Like, these things are, I mean, for you, they have something, and you can live in according to your values without making the law your value.
Not with all that bad stuff on the TV, though.
It's
not
an
with
immoral
all these
society. I have to step in and change it.
Yeah,
God has compelled me to do so.
Yeah, they never come out against violence, Brett.
No.
Never. You never hear, oh, man, they can't show that on TV. It's too violent, from the Christians. It's always sex. It is always sex. But back, so at the award show, they did a scene, and I didn't see this scene. I can't criticize the specific scene, but a lot of my lefty friends that I follow on Facebook or on Twitter, like, retweeted stuff about Jimmy Kimmel. He goes around and asks people questions, okay, right? Okay. Asks regular people on the street questions. Probably in this case, questions about the movies that there's no way they saw because nobody cares about the Oscar movies.
I love Moonlight.
Yeah, well, good for you, buddy.
I'd like La La Land too.
Okay, right on, man. I didn't watch either one of them.
They're both good.
I missed them. I watch Horny Archie, though. I've seen all the episodes of Horny Archie.
Both movies are good.
Okay, that's fine. But do you expect the average person to have seen both of the movies and be able to answer questions about the movies? Or what about when they ask them about people in Trump's cabinet? Like, they'll just ask them politics questions. Just find you on the street and ask you, and then make fun of your answers.
I mean, it's good TV. It is good TV. I do like to watch that shit.
But do you think it would be good TV if they brought, like, celebrities on and they asked them, like, how much a gallon of milk costs? And
that would be fun. That would be great. I would like that. I would love to see. What I always felt like to me is that they give away, like, these $10,000 gift baskets to these people that go to these award ceremonies, and they don't need it. They have everything in the world. They should be, like, those people should be hand-delivering a T-Mobile gift basket to somebody that fucking needs it.
Yeah. What if we asked them to, like, lift a, like, load a truck?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
What if Jimmy Kimmel had a bunch of celebrities on and said, hey, buddy, why don't you load a truck, and we could all laugh because they can't do it?
Yeah. Hey, Zac Efron, you ever loaded bottles of water before?
Yeah. Hey, Brad Pitt, go and clog that toilet for me, please. You know?
Yeah, make them, man, I mean, that would be, I would enjoy that. I do like that.
I mean, it's equal smart time, it's to non-famous people.
That's true.
To make famous people look like shitheads.
That's true. I mean, we spend most of our time giving them all of our money and attention. I think that during the awards part, we should make them unclog a fucking toilet.
I would love to make any of those guys unclog a fucking toilet. To be honest, I'd like the Uber CEO to unclog a fucking toilet. I think that's going to be my new thing, where I just make people unclog toilets.
It's a good make strategy. Famous.
That's going to be, if we ever get a, maybe we'll try to get like a Jay Leno style talk show, and our gimmick will be like, when we have the celebrities on, they'll make them unclog a toilet.
Yeah, that's a good start. I mean, it's a good test. We won't fucking deal with anybody that isn't willing to unclog a toilet. Yeah. I'll tell you that much. I mean, if you have not used a fucking plunger on your own shit, then I'm not dealing with you, because you ain't connected to reality, bro.
No. No, everybody has to do it, these low-flow turlets.
Yeah. I mean, fucking, they only trying to get 0.7 liters of water down there to flush some serious eating that I did. You can't make that shit go away with the 0.7 liters of water.
I got blocked by you, Mayor Hake, for asking him if he ever unclogged a toilet on Twitter. He's like a philosophy guy that just throws out like these little philosophical things. He's an economist too, and he said, ask me anything. I was like, have you ever unclogged a toilet? And then I checked and I was blocked. And I was just so mad about it. Like, he's just offended that you would even ask him. Like, that's a good question.
I mean, I would answer that. That's a question I'd be willing to answer.
Q&A, baby.
It's easy. That's easy. Like, people will bug you with some real weird out there shit, but like something like that is, yeah, of course.
It makes people who haven't done it and are living like a good life, I think that puts them in a space. It's that or like no. I said, load a truck, carry groceries in. Hey, why don't you carry some groceries into your house, motherfucker?
Yeah, they got door service.
Yeah, please. Please, why don't you try that? Why don't you go buy your own groceries this week? Go to the grocery store, push the goddamn cart around, and get all the things you need.
Yeah, I mean, we have to stop a lot of that. Too many people living on that gravy train.
Well, we could just take everything from them and make them live normal lives, but yeah, then let them also let them make La La Land and shit too. It's like, man, you can make La La Land, you just gotta live like me. Fucking terrible, man.
Yeah, you're not gonna get all of that shit.
Yeah, no, you drive a nice late model, you'll drive a late model car, it'd be fucking real nice. You gotta keep it for a few years. Not any of these new cars all the time, but they can still do the movies. I'm fine with that. I would never say, like, let's get rid of all the art.
Yeah, I love the movies, man.
Yeah.
Both those movies were good as fuck.
Are they as good as Archie, though? Like,
probably better. But here's the thing, because here's the thing, but great thing about movies, they're less than 2 hours most of the time.
True.
These fucking shows, man, they'll try to tell you some of this shit for 9 hours, and it's like, I don't want this. That's too much.
I saw The Founder.
You could tell me this in, like, there used to be books that were just be 90 pages, man. Like, just a short story, and that's all I need of your bullshit, your Hulu exclusive shows.
Yeah. Yeah, was The Founder nominated? Because I'm a real The Founder. I saw The Founder a couple weeks ago. I didn't talk about it on the show.
I thought you did.
I talked about it to you before the show.
Ray Kroc,
yeah.
Someone talked to us about it.
Okay, then maybe I was wrong about it. Okay.
You came on here with a dumbass opinion, actually, about it. Right. You came on to the show to talk about the movie The Founder, which is Ray Kroc, the motherfucker that turned McDonald's into what it is.
So what,
and you had only watched 15 minutes of the movie.
I had only watched the first half of the movie. And then my wife and I decided to watch it. And we watched 5 minutes after the part that I stopped watching. He did a complete heel turn. He was a real scumbag. Like, he was a shark, you know?
He was trying to fuck somebody else's wife.
Yes, he was. He stole somebody's wife. He took a life. He changed. He's the motherfucking guy that switched from ice cream to powder milkshakes, Brett. He's that dude.
To save money.
To save money. And so they wouldn't have to run a freezer, my dude. And it's his wife that discovered that. That's so mad. As the McDonald's brother was like, no, a milkshake is ice cream. What do you want us to do next? Put sawdust in the hamburger? And fucking the wheels start turning. Ray Kroc's
eye. Oh, they're twisting titties over there. The writing staff. Yeah, they put some sawdust in hamburgers now.
That's fine, though, in a way. I mean, it's gross and everything.
It's digestible. You can dookie it out. It's waste.
People have, you know, that's a big thing now, too. And McDonald's, a lot of people say McDonald's fucks them up worse than any of the fast foods now. That it's got the, I think Taco Bell's old, like, thing, where, like, the Taco Bell's the fast food that's supposed to destroy you internally. But McDonald's has taken that over, according to a lot of people online.
I mean, I think it's equal.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know. I guess I hang around like the more crunchy folks.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. A lot of people eat it still almost
every
day.
But you get
day.
Fucked up on it. Like, you, like when you eat it, you get fucked up.
No,
like
last time I did.
There's a price
I was,
you pay for eating a Cholito, right?
I was fine after the Cholito. I'm okay. Really happy about perfectly how that digestible. Turned out. Yeah, very happy how that turned out okay. For me. Oh, man. All right. So the next time we come back here and do this show, well, the next show will be the Revolt show, and the show after that will be me with Dan. But then we will have done Chicago.
Yeah, that is happening. I mean, I'll mention it even if it's posthumous. We're going to Chicago on March 2nd, Township Bar at 7 p.m. The doors will open up. We'll hang out with you, listen to some music. 8 p.m. the show will start. We got Chuck Mertz from This Is Hell Radio. We got Chicago comedian Arish Singh. We got Chicago comedian Lindsay, who came from C-Bus. So it's going to be a fucking awesome show. I'm really excited to do it, and I'm glad that so many people have showed up. We're going to keep this thing going all the way to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on March 19th at Spirit Lodge, as y'all know it. They got the Pizza Island, and Street Fight Radio is going to put on a show, afternoon show. I think they're doing bingo afterwards. You know
bingo.
What?
Bingo.
You know what? Here's the thing.
Shh, I might stick around for a little bit.
You got time. Let's hash this out. Let me say this. I sent an email to Spirit saying, hey, we want to do a radio show. And they were like, yeah, we can squeeze you in on Sunday afternoon, 4 to 7. That's our time slot. I looked at their schedule. They got bingo scheduled from 7 to 9, and then they got like another act from 9 to the evening, right?
Yeah.
I feel like they didn't think we were going to come with the heat that way we're going to.
Yeah.
They're going to be surprised.
I think so too. I do too. I think they're going to regret not having us there at night.
Yeah, we're doing an absolutely free show in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Pittsburgh.
3:19 Sunday. It's a Sunday night, Sunday evening from 4 to 7. So they've suggested we do a free show. So it's going to be Street Fight Radio. We also have a special guest. Johnny is good.
Oh, ice cream too spicy.
Yes. We're going to talk about white people's taste buds.
I'm excited.
Finding leaves in their food.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to Johnny. I love him. I'm so fucking excited to be doing something with Johnny.
That's happening that Sunday. We've also confirmed at this point that the full original Chapo Trap House gang will be there. Will, Matt, and Felix are going to join us on stage. And I feel like Spirit didn't know what they're getting.
I don't think they do. With this rolling into town. Yeah.
Like, our show is going to rock their world.
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully, we'll impress them. But that's March 19th. And yeah, it's Street Fight Johnny and Chapo Trap House. I don't know how you motherfuckers got it before Columbus, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it is true. I apologize.
That's like really bad to do.
Disrespectful.
In Ohio, too, because there's a lot of people that hate Pittsburgh.
That's true. It's not the Browns, man. It's not the fucking Bengals.
They're enemies. They're natural enemies.
They are. To us.
Hey, it's fine, man. Sometimes you got to go in enemy territory and knock their socks off. So they're like, damn, I wish we'll turn them into Browns fans.
We took all the Rapeless Burgers fans.
Yeah, we'll turn them into Bengals or Browns fans. It'll be cool. We're on our way, baby.
Yeah, so that is happening. I can't wait to do that, and I'm glad that all y'all keep tuning in every single week to listen to what we do on Street Fight Radio. If you want to get involved more, you can send us money. I mean, this operation is ran at like a big cost to us. I had to let Street Fight.
We should have called it Street Fart, man. Damn it. This branding.
I had to lend Street Fight like $500 this month just to keep it afloat. And so, you know, there still is a lot of time and effort and money that goes into making this happen. And I'm telling you, all we want to do, I mean, even if you're a goddamn Trump supporting conservative, we want you to get better too. We're trying to take everything we can from spoiled ass rich people that got too goddamn much and don't deserve it and ain't worked a goddamn hard day in their life. And we're rooting for everybody. And to spread this message is not going to be popular. You don't make money on Comedy Central talking shit like we do. And it's only happening because a lot of people online, regular folks, even from around the globe, man, we got like 120 people from the United Kingdom that are listening on SoundCloud. I saw that. We got people from Australia getting the zine. So it's blowing me away, the impact that we're making. And when we're done with it, everybody's going to get treated like a fucking CEO. That Uber asshole won't be able to get away with anything because we're all going to be living that same level of respectability that he gets. That's all we're looking for here. It's all we deserve. So thank you for supporting what we do. If you want to do that, go to patreon.com, patreon.com/streetfightradio. You can sign up because once a month we're doing these live gigs. Now, with these live gigs, you're getting HD video, two cameras. We're editing it all down, and I'm giving that to you for $5 a month. If you're willing to pay, you'll get to access to all of this live content that we're doing.
That includes that show in Pittsburgh with Chapo and Johnny. You're going to get that show if you go to our Patreon.
Right. $5 a month subscribers are going to be receiving that video, and we're going to continue doing that. We also have the zine. If you want to get the zine sent to your house for just $5 more, $10 a month, you get access to our live videos, including some of the bonus content that we do and all of our live shows and the zine that just came out. I did it. It's February 28th. We're recording right now, February 28th. And I sent every fucking zine out before the first of the month. That was my goal. I'm a procrastinator by nature. And so I did it to the last minute. But if you want to check, by the time the show is coming out, go to store.streetfightradio.com. The remaining copies I have of the zine are available for purchase. It's only going to be $5 to get that sent to you. It has articles about small business tyrants with people like Felix Biederman, Calk the Wagon, Dank Metal, Brian, his sister. There's comics in there. I drew all over it. I did a bunch of doodles on things, and did a Richard Spencer cartoon on the back. So if you want that, Patreon, that's the way to guarantee that you get it every single month. The first of the month is when the charge goes through. We also offer Kratom, which is like the best motherfucking plant besides weed, right? It's like a miracle shit.
I like it.
If you haven't checked it out before, give Kratom a shot. We have a club, Loot Kratom, 25 grams of Kratom a month for only $10 a month. That's through Patreon as well. If not, if you want to know more, just go to bit.ly/Kratom guide to get more information on Kratom. And thank you for doing what we do, for supporting what we do. I'm Brett. He's Brian. We'll see you next week. Peace.
I was left alone a long, long time ago by my mother, who I never got to know. Faded memories of my life have been washed in whiskey nights, and I'm living at the bottom of a bottle. I've spent my life on a bar stool all alone, never knowing why she sent me from my home. Was there something wrong with me that no one else could see? What's the reason only I got turned away? Mama, please tell me why you would leave behind. You sent me off and then you went and had my brother before me, a little girl, and they're the center of your world. Mama, tell me, why'd you leave the middle child? Gone back home and asked her to her face, but my life's become too much of a disgrace, and I got the news today saying Mama passed away. So I'll never sent me off and then you went and had my brother before me, a little girl, and they're the center of your world. Mama, tell me, why'd you leave?